Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Josh Dominic. If you are here for my YouTube channel, you know me as JD. And I'm here with my co-host, Fabian.
What up, guys? Fabian here. I am the sneaker and sportswear editor at High Snobiety. I do not have a YouTube channel, but you might have seen me on Instagram unboxing some sneakers on High Snobiety's Instagram channel.
So yeah, so basically me and Fabian, we just kind of met each other one day. We've been talking on Instagram for a while. We both live in Berlin. And one day we just kind of met and we were just talking for like hours.
It was like a first date too. You know, like we grabbed pizza and then we had beers afterwards and we were just talking sneakers. And then Josh hit me up like a week later and was like, it was like 2 days later, right? And you were like, we just talked about sneakers for 4 hours. We should do a podcast.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's kind of how this whole idea kind of started. It was like a true love story, man.
like a sneaker love story, like a bro love story.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we started. So we're just kind of, you know, doing this for fun right now. We're just kind of testing it out. As far as like how often we're going to do it, we're going to aim for once every 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we're going to aim for at least one pod every 2 weeks. The pods will be hosted on Podigy, as well as we're going to try to make it available on Spotify for those of you who have a Spotify subscription. So on this pod series, we're going to primarily be covering sneaker topics, sneaker related topics. What are the upcoming sneakers? What sneakers we like right now? And also general topics for sneakerheads, such as how to start a collection, how to store your sneakers. We're going to be having a major topic every week that we'll be covering, as well as the most important drops of those upcoming weeks.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be everything from educational topics to kind of daily, weekly trending topics.
Yeah, and we'll see how it goes. There might be a bunch of random topics thrown in there too. But for this particular episode, what we wanted to cover was all the sneakers we have loved so far in the year 2021, and also what we are looking forward to the most for the rest of the year. And later on in the video, we're going to be covering the topic how to actually start your first sneaker collection or your own sneaker collection. What do you think about those topics for today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I feel like, you know, we're in mid-February now, but somehow it kind of feels like it's still beginning of January. Like, I feel like the sneaker industry has kind of been slow out the gates a little bit. I don't know about you.
Definitely.
I know we were going to start with like what we're looking forward to, or like what we like so far, but I'm kind of feeling a bit of dunk fatigue. I don't know about you. I know you have a lot of dunks, but
that's literally exactly what I was going to say. Like, so far this year, I am tired of dunks already. I know it's only been the start of the year so far, but I'm pretty much sick of the dunks. So we have already here in Europe, we have gotten close to 5 or 6 dunks already. In fact, there was even a day where Nike dropped five or four different colorways on the exact same day. So Nike is pretty much telling everyone what to expect this year. Dunks, and a lot more dunks. In the US, you guys are going to be getting those dunks. To my US listeners, you guys are going to be getting those same dunks on February the 16th. I'm talking about the Coast Lows and the Vast Gray Highs and the Football Gray Highs. Mm-hmm. Those already released here in Europe. And I'm with Fabian. I'm a bit fatigued with the dunks. And my biggest issue with these dunks, and I've been talking about it in all my videos, is the quality. The quality of these dunks are nothing like the dunks we saw last year.
Right.
The dunks that I was actually excited about.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen some of these dunks in hand.
I haven't seen any this year. I have the Wu-Tang ones from last year.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are okay. They're quite comfortable. The thing is, like, I really like the colorways that are coming out this year. You know, they're really, really good. Like those light pink ones, the pastel colorways, the Coast ones too. Really, really love those. But I've seen on your Instagram too, you've said that the quality is subpar, really.
It's the leather quality to me kind of is closer to plastic than it is leather. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much like the bare minimum that Nike is putting into a sneaker to qualify it as a sneaker. But like Fabian said, if you like a colorway and you wanted to see this colorway on a pair of dunks, then just go for it, because that's what you're getting. You're just getting that colorway on a dunk. if you're the type of guy who, you know, really, really wants a good quality sneaker, value for money type of guy, then yeah, I would personally skip all these Dunks. That's what I said I've been doing this year. Like, I don't plan to cop any of these general release Dunks this year. The quality is just not doing it for me. But yeah, that's pretty much been the story so far for 2021. As far as like hype releases, one that kind of really stood out to me was, even though it's a Dunk, the Ambush Dunks.
Yeah.
So what do you think of those?
So obviously there's two colorways, right? There's the all pink ones, yeah, and then there's the black and white ones. In terms of the design, I really do like the way that she has taken inspiration from like motocross and motorbikes, right? And extended the swoosh on both sides. I really like the black and white one. I don't see myself rocking the all pink one. And I don't know who would rock the all pink one. I feel like that's kind of a colorway that is more like you see it in campaigns and it looks great on Instagram. But if you see someone, whoever, man, woman, whatever, wearing these on the street, you'd be kind of like, all pink shoes. It's kind of like the all red October hype, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would think too. But then if you look at these resale prices in the bigger sizes, I'm talking like the men's sizes, like they're actually through the roof, like 450, really? 500 euros.
Wow.
For the big men's sizes.
For the pink ones.
For the pink ones.
Crazy.
So yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked about that too. Yeah, as far as the design, it kind of reminds me a lot of, the name is kind of slipping me right now, but with those Adidas sneakers that had the wings on it.
Oh, the Jeremy Scotts?
The Jeremy Scotts, yeah. These are like kind of like Nike Jeremy Scotts. You know, you got these like swooshes that kind of come out of the shoe and kind of wrap around the shoe.
Yeah.
And it also kind of gives me a bit of like Off-White Jordan 1 vibes, like the way the swoosh is kind of deconstructed
from the shoe. It feels like the swoosh is not actually on the shoe, right? Yeah, it's like exactly. 3D off the shoe, yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a pretty cool look. I'm pretty hyped for in case they drop a Chicago colorway, which I heard they might. Some people are saying it might be friends and family only. But if that Chicago colorway drops, I would totally definitely want to cop those.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's, you know, most things with the Chicago colorway are an instant cop. Especially, you know, like, especially a silhouette as iconic as the Dunk in its own right, you know, with that colorway.
Yeah, but besides the Ambush, like, has there been anything else worth talking about?
I think the Pata New Balance 991s were pretty
salmon,
decent.
Salmon pink ones, yeah.
I think they kind of flew under the radar a little bit, which is a shame. But, I mean, you look at the resale prices. I looked at them this morning because I was like, oh, I missed out on those. Maybe I should buy them. Mm-hmm. 500-600 euros. So, you know, people do like them. They seem to be, you know, hitting the spot for a lot of people. But other than that, I feel like it started pretty slow, and I'm kind of excited to see maybe what's coming later on down the line, because I know there's a lot of releases that have been leaked or teased, know, obviously a lot of Nike and Jordan releases too. So I guess if you were to look forward like the next couple months, like what's on your cop list?
Okay, so my absolute, if there's like one sneaker I actually have to cop this year, it's actually coming out this week, the Neutral Gray Jordan 1 highs.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people, I read the comments, people are like, this is such a boring colorway, like why would I pay that kind of resale for it? I'm already kind of expecting an L, like there's only going to be 23,000 pairs worldwide, but this to me is just a beautiful sneaker. It has the same shape as the 1985, although not an identical one for one shape,
right?
But it's the first time that this colorway has retroed ever. And I'm excited. Every single pair is also numbered. It comes in a special bag, and yeah, the quality also looks pretty insane. So this is a shoe that I'm definitely going to be copying. Look out for the review on the channel, my viewers. This one, like, I've already kind of budgeted for it. Like, I'm probably going to pay resale for it.
Yeah,
that's one that for sure I need to cop. And as far as the other shoes that I want to cop this year, definitely I'm interested in all of the fours and the Jordan fours coming out this year.
I was going to say that too, yeah.
it looks like when it comes to Jordan silhouettes, it looks like this is the year Nike is kind of trying to hype up the fours even more so than they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's this taupe haze colorway coming out February. Yeah, it's super nice. The materials, though, I don't know if you've seen some YouTube reviews.
It's like cracked leather, right?
Yeah, the material is kind of weird. It's kind of like, I don't know, have you ever done like an oil painting before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like when you like make an oil painting, like the kind of the paint kind of cracks off of
it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what the shoe kind of looks like. Like some of it is kind of just cracking off.
Right, like it's old already, kind of out of the box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know if I... I would need to see it in hand. Yeah. But the colorway is definitely a banger. Mm-hmm. And the other one is this university blue.
Oh, man. Those are the two that I was going to say. What, as really? Well. Yeah. So the tall pays and the UNC ones, right?
Yeah, the UNC ones. Yeah. The UNC Jordan 4s, like, it does look like those Travis Scott ones, although I think it is quite different. Like, the color blocking on the midsole is a bit different.
Yeah.
Those are the two, like, fours I definitely need.
Right. I mean, collection. That's exactly what I was going to say as well. I think the Top Haze kind of looks like the Friends and Family Travis Scott ones. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, 2 years ago was the anniversary for the fours. So that was when kind of Nike was really pushing them in 2019. And now I feel like these are more exciting than anything that came out in 2019 for me in terms of fours. Yeah, in terms of fours.
Even more than the Off-White fours?
Well, the Off-White 4s came out in 2020, right? But to your point, I really, really like the Off-White 4s too. Those are probably the ones where I'm like, shit, like I'm like sad that I didn't win a raffle there. And I might have to, I don't know, they're so expensive right now. I might have to dip into the resale fund. But like you said, the Top Haze and the UNC University Blue 4s, for me, those are like, I don't know if I can wear all blue shoes, but they are super nice, and the suede or whatever material they're using on the blue ones on the University Blue looks really, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Those Jordan 4s I'm looking forward to, and the neutral grays. Another one, we don't have a sneaker confirmed or anything. I'm very hyped to see what Jerry Lorenzo does with Adidas. We don't know if a sneaker will come out this year.
Yeah.
It might come out next year because he just joined the team, and usually it takes some time, I guess, from concept to your sneaker. But I'm excited to see what he does there. I do think like some of the hype talk I've seen on Instagram and YouTube about how like, oh, this is the end of Nike, like Adidas is stealing all its talent, like I think that's super like overblown personally.
No, I think what it has to do with is the level of creative control, right? So you saw it with, I think Nike runs a pretty tight ship and they give their different talents and creatives different levels of creative control, but never full creative control. And so that's why Kanye left and went to Adidas, or he went to whoever was going to give him the most creative control. And Adidas was like, we'll give you your entire brand. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing the same with Jerry right now, where they're saying, okay, Nike's not giving you exactly what you want. We'll give you as much creative control as we can, and you're going to be running an entire division. I think it's exciting. I don't know if like the shoes will be marketed as like Fear of God x Adidas, or if it'll be kind of just like a Adidas basketball designed by Jerry, you know what I mean?
Like a basketball, like a whole line.
He's running the basketball division, yeah, right? Yeah. So I think he's going to be doing mostly like performance basketball. He's going to be doing apparel, all that kind of stuff. So I think you can expect to see a lot of like Fear of God aesthetic dripping into Adidas basketball, which I think is cool because it's, you know, like he loves basketball. He's a basketball fan himself. And I think he brings a lot of basketball, like pure basketball knowledge as well, plus his design knowledge. So it's a recipe for success, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I actually really like what Adidas has been doing the last couple of years. You know, people were kind of writing it off when the Ultra Boost hype kind of died. They're like, you know, Adidas is done. But I think Adidas kind of shifted its whole strategy to kind of not just shoes, but also kind of focus on the apparel part.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any question that like Adidas apparel is a lot better than like Nike apparel. Like you look at some of the Adidas collabs they've done with some high profile people like the Beyonce, Ivy Park, like that collection, entire collection, the clothes, the shoes, so much hype around them, and they're instantly selling out. And they've also done some collabs with Bape, with obviously the Pharrell line. So I kind of like what Adidas is doing. Oh, I keep switching from Adidas to Adidas. I'm going to blame Fabian for that. I'm hyped to see this Fear of God line, especially like I want to see the clothes too.
Yeah, I think it's also cool, like, you know, Jerry being brought internally into Adidas. You have Kiko being brought into ASICS as well and kind of doing some stuff there, which I'm quite excited about because I think his shoes are so cool. Like when he did his like remastered Gel Light 3 at the end of last year, that was kind of for me the perfect way to remix a classic. So many people and so many brands have tried to, like, you know, bring back like the Samba, or, you know, like the Nike Air Max 1 or the 97, remix it in like a futuristic way. And it always just seems kind of like a Foot Locker shoe, in, you know, like, in, without, no disrespect to Foot Locker, but it just seems like kind of like a straight to Foot Locker shoe.
No, I know what you mean.
right. I feel like people listening will know what I mean as well. Yeah. And Asics, Kiko Gelite 3, just kind of, it kept the split tongue. It kept like what makes it a Gelite 3, but made it more fashion and more modern. And I really like that. So I'm excited to see what he does. But there's no real news out of that camp yet.
Yeah, it's still very early. So I mean, besides that, I mean, we have to talk about New Balance. New Balance, in my opinion, had the best year in 2020.
Definitely.
Like, just so many nice collabs.
Every single thing was a hit.
Everything. They smashed it. And every single release, too, they released just the right amount of quantity to generate, like, so much hype on the shoes. There's tons of resale on every single New Balance collab last year. And this year, too, some of the collabs I'm pretty excited about. I want to see what Casablanca continues to do with New Balance. I've seen already this new colorway of the 327 with the marble pattern on it.
It's like an all-over kind of monogram style.
Yeah, I know. I think that's like something you can see that in a museum, you know?
So good.
It's got like, it's such a nice.
And they have that colorway. New shoe too, right? That like there's a 327 and there's a 237. But then they also have like the XR something.
Right.
I forget what the number is, but it's got these like two different outsoles. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That looks crazy.
And it's the same colorway as the original.
Exactly.
Casablanca.
Yeah. It's like that nice like summery like orange, green, white. Just I can see that. I can see me wearing that like in Italy or Spain or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah.
Like that whole Casablanca New Balance thing, it's like the perfect like vacationing and like Amalfi Coast type of shoe. Like it's just like, it looks so good.
Obviously when Corona's over Corona regulations permitting.
Of course, no, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, of course the New Balance, and then there's the 992s, there's a collab with Paperboy that...
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm choking. There's a collab with Paperboy that is on the way, which the colorway looks insane. Mm-hmm. You got some yellow hits on there, some nice gray hits. I definitely need to add more 992s to the collection.
Definitely.
This year.
I think the 992 is also kind of, I know that the 991 is going to have a big year this year because I think it's like an anniversary year this year.
The 991.
Yeah, that's why like the Pata was a 991. And I do like the 991, but I think the 992 has an overall nicer shape. It's a little more chunky. And they had that nice purple pair as well that came out. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
It was a general release, but it was really, really nice.
So nice, man. Yeah. That pair is so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so. I think so. So I think, yeah, the 992 was big last year, and hopefully like that continues into this year. But I think, honestly, New Balance just needs to keep doing what it was doing last year, and it'll be fine.
There's also supposed to be a lot more colorways of the Salehe Bembury collab, the 2002R.
Yeah.
Salehe is going to continue doing more collabs and more colorways this year, so excited to see that, too.
Yeah, I mean, he launched his own brand, Sponge, now as well. He had that Anta collab.
He's killing it.
Oh, he's really killing it. I think there's a lot to be excited for in 2021 if you're a sneakerhead. I mean, 2020, all things considered, was a huge year.
Even though, like, you know, like, when the whole COVID thing started, I dropped a video on my channel talking about sneaker resale specifically. Yeah. It was targeted to resellers, and I was saying how, like, you know, everyone's going to be locked up now, the economy is going to be tanking, and sneaker resale is probably going to be dying. Yeah, I was completely, completely wrong. People wanted to flex from home.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah,
sneaker resale, in fact, was better than it ever has been, even though we were at home. So that just tells you like the power of the hype machine.
Yeah,
that is Nike and how they use Instagram to promote their sneakers. I was like, if you just look at like StockX data too, like their sales numbers, May of 2020, which was like the peak of lockdown basically around the world, that was actually StockX's best sales month ever.
It's
insane. It seems like the sneaker resale industry is almost COVID proof
for sure. I think you said it. I mean, like 2020 was insane, just on all levels, right? Like, you had some releases kind of get delayed a little bit, and there was some uncertainty there. But in terms of just people still wanting to buy sneakers, people reselling sneakers, people buying sneakers at retail, resell, not much change. If anything, it went up, and I'm excited to see what this year holds.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, so we've kind of we've covered like sneakers we're excited for the rest of the year. So let's kind of go into the next topic, which is kind of how to start your sneaker collection. You're new to sneakers. Every single week you're looking at your Instagram, you see new sneakers dropping. You're wondering, you know, how do I actually get started on this whole thing? So like, I mean, I guess like my advice when it comes to this is I can just give you advice from how I personally collect sneakers. For me, it's all about like quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I think people kind of get lost in the whole numbers game. So
yeah,
for some people, like having a sneaker collection is, oh, how many sneakers do you have?
Right.
And like the higher the number, like the more clout you have, or like
right. the better sneakerhead you are.
The better sneakerhead you are. Like I'm completely the opposite. Like I actually just dropped a video last week where I showed off my entire personal sneaker collection, mm-hmm. and in total I only have 50. And I know I say only, like nobody right. nobody really needs 50 pairs of shoes,
yeah.
but like that's just what I keep for myself, because and anytime I want to add a new sneaker to the collection, I know I gotta sell one of my 50 pairs in order to add this new pair. So I kind of keep my personal collection always at around 50. And yeah, that's because sneakers, like you have to kind of understand what they are for what they are. They are things you wear on your feet to walk outside. And I don't think anybody needs 100 pairs of shoes or
definitely
200
not.
Pairs of shoes.
No.
Like, what's the point of having, and this is just my opinion, what's the point of having like 200 pairs sitting in your basement just kind of rotting away?
Yeah.
So I think like it's really important to value quality over quantity. And when I say that, I mean, go for sneakers that you truly love. And no matter, like, you don't have to have a collection that only has hype shoes. It's not about who has the most hype sneakers. It's about just having sneakers that you truly love.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other thing is when you go on, you know, Instagram and all these other websites, sneaker news, etc., like, there's so many, you know, quote unquote leaked images, you know, like, and these images are all being leaked by the brands themselves to generate hype. So you probably, these brands kind of make you think that, you know, every single week you need to cop this one, you need to cop this one, you need to cop the next one. But the truth is you really don't. So like the way I do it is like I'll enter raffles for a sneaker, mm-hmm. and if I take an L on it, then I really ask myself like 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, like, am I still thinking about that shoe?
Right.
And if I am, then I know, okay, I actually really like that one and I want to add it to the collection.
Yeah.
So then I'll go pay resale for it.
It's like getting a tattoo, right? Where, you know, you have a design in your mind, and then people usually say, wait a couple months, wait like half a year. And if you still like the design, then get it. It's a little like that,
yeah.
but on a smaller scale,
of
obviously.
Of course. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how I do it. Like, what about you?
Well, I think I was thinking about this, right? Because we discussed this was going to be our first topic, obviously first episode, how to start. And I think a lot of it needs to come from a place of passion. Like you said, what do you like? What kinds of sneakers do you like? If you're buying sneakers only because of the resale, I think you're in it for the wrong reasons. If you're buying it only because you want to post on Instagram, if that's the sole reason, I'm not saying that it's not, you know, I post on Instagram too when I get new sneakers, and I like showing off what I get, and just appreciating the design of the sneaker. But I think the prime kind of motivation needs to come from a place of understanding and passion. So you need to understand what you like. Do you like dunks? Do you like chunky shoes? Do you like runners? And then I think if you're really like really basic getting started, just identify like what shoes do you like, and then build on that. And slowly, like you said, it's quality over quantity. Don't rush into it and buy 10 pairs of shoes because you have the money, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just buy what you want and slowly build up to it. Eventually you'll have 20, 30, 40, 50 pairs. Maybe not. Maybe you say 30 pairs is enough. But I think starting needs to come from a place of understanding what you yourself as a sneakerhead like, mm-hmm. and then going with that rather than buying what other people like you said as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey, you know, don't move too fast. Take your time, enjoy it. You don't need to know everything about the culture. You know, mm-hmm. you don't need to know like Michael Jordan's biggest achievements to like Jordans. You know, you don't need to know everything about Jerry Lorenzo to like Fear of God sneakers or collaborations. But what you should do is you should understand a little bit about the culture, the history. And if you say, hey, like, I really like New Balance 990s, then maybe read up a little bit about it. Read up the history of the 990, how many versions there are, that kind of stuff. And then when you gain that understanding and you become a bit of a nerd, it's so much more fun, you know, because you know more and you can speak to other people about it. I don't know how it is for you, but I love just like talking shop and talking about sneakers and learning about sneakers from other people, even though I've been in this industry now for over 3 years, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, neither. Like, I don't really ever tire out of wearing sneakers, and the sneakers that I do wear, so like my personal collection of 50, like, yeah, like for every single one of them, there's like a specific reason, mm-hmm. like why I chose to keep this pair in the collection. Like, for example, like I have this sneaker, which is Skepta's sneaker. Like, yeah. He did a Air Max 97, and like I love this sneaker a lot, even though like not a lot of people have this shoe, and it doesn't really resell for much, like 100 or 200 euros or something. Mm-hmm. But like, I really love Skepta's music, and I just really wanted the shoe because it was his first collab. So so like that's an example of like just sneakers that just kind of mean more to me. So I these are the type of shoes I like to collect. Like, for me, it's not about like how much clout am I gonna get for having this shoe. It's really about, do I like this, and can I also wear it in an outfit? Like, that's important to me.
That's the most important thing too, because I find myself sometimes seeing a pair of sneakers, I'm like, wow, I love the design, I love mm-hmm. the colors. And then, you know, sometimes I get them and I'm like, wow, I can't wear these, I look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And or I just can't pull them off, you know, not that the sneakers look ridiculous, I look ridiculous wearing the sneakers. And I think it's really important to kind of figure out the difference between like why you like something and whether it's just an appreciation for the design and whether you actually want to wear it yourself.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you said,
yeah.
You don't, the thing is, you can like sneakers and you can be a sneakerhead without owning the sneaker. You can like Air Jordan 4s without even having any Air Jordan 4s in your collection. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to like it being a journey. Like you said, each sneaker that you have has a specific story or reason to why you own it. Associated with it. And I think that's the important thing. It's kind of as you go, and that's why it's important not to go so quickly. You can pick up shoes and you'll remember, oh, I bought these shoes in this store when I was on holiday in this place, and I didn't, you know, they were sold out everywhere in my home country, but I found them here. And each sneaker finds some sort of like relevance and importance to you. And I think that's the cool thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I did just say like it's really important to me to have a sneaker that I can actually wear. Mm-hmm. However, like I know that's not the most important thing to everyone. Like how you look and fashion and stuff is not that important. But like, I mean, that's one of the things that's important to me. Like, for example, like I'll see a sneaker like the Chunky Dunkies, which like, I mean, it's a cool concept, but I'm like, how am I gonna wear these like cow shoes, right? Like, like I have no idea how you can pull that off. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, all these 50 shoes I have, I know I'm gonna get use out of all of them.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's the most, like you said, shoes are meant to be worn.
They're meant to be worn.
Right? They're pieces of clothing that are meant to be worn. It doesn't matter what price tag is associated with them. If you buy them, like, sure, you can display them for a little bit or you can hold on to them or whatever. But in the end, isn't it cool? Like, everyone's buying shoes kind of to show them off a little bit outside,
right? Of course,
right?
Of course.
Sure, you can show them off on Instagram, but put them on, enjoy them. They're probably comfortable. And then break necks, you know? People will be like, oh, damn, like, what are those? You know, back then, what are those used to be like a compliment. Yeah, now it's sure, like a, what are those? But I think just wear your shoes, or at least, you know, buy shoes that you will enjoy wearing and will enjoy using. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely. I hope you guys found that useful. So we'll now talk about basically these sneakers that are just coming up in the next 2 weeks until we do the next episode of this pod. So just some of the important releases that I have here. Of course, the neutral one. Is it the natural gray or the neutral gray?
So the natural gray was the original 1985 name for it.
Okay, got it.
But Nike has now confirmed that it's called neutral gray this time around.
Okay, understood. It's kind of funny though. Like, I know we're kind of off topic now, but like, for example, there's a lot of New Balance 550s colorways dropping, and just now, like on February 1st, they dropped two colorways. One was this black and gray one, and one was a white and gray.
Yeah.
And New Balance called it the Shadows, and then they called the other pair the Neutral Gray.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was weird, right? Like they're literally copying the names directly, like from Jordan.
Yeah. So I think the 550s, they came out in like 1989, right?
Yeah.
So my best guess is, and I don't know this, is maybe back then that's what they were called, because they were probably back then they were named after the Jordans, maybe.
Yeah.
So either way, they're named after the Jordans a little bit. I thought it was kind of clever because sneakerheads are going to call them, you know, if a sneaker from another brand drops in the same colorway as an iconic sneaker, sneakerheads automatically give it that same nickname,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
So
that's
this
true.
Is New Balance just saying, like, owning it and saying, like, okay, yeah, these are very similar to the Shadows, very similar to the Neutral Grays. We're just going to call them that anyway.
That's cool. So it's you don't take it as, like being like a copycat.
It's like an homage. Right? Yeah, yeah. It's like a respect thing, kind of like Shadows. Obviously, like that colorway comes from the Air Jordan 1, you know, Jordan brand doesn't own black and gray color blocking. And so it's kind of like a little nod, kind of like if you know, you know, kind of thing. And that's what sneaker culture, in my opinion, is kind of built on as well. Like those little inside hints and tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, guy. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, of course, so that's dropping February the 10th. Very, very hyped on the Neutral Gray ones. As far as the other sneakers in the next 2 weeks, I see a lot of dunks on the way. We're going to be seeing this Nike Dunk Low in the medium curry or dark curry colorway.
Is that the suede one?
The suede one with the brown, yeah.
Yeah, so that one looks good, actually.
It looks really, really good. I just got the high top dark russet colorway,
yeah,
which is also, I don't know if these were supposed to be part of a pack because they both feature this curry color.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality on the dark russet is the best I've seen on any dunk this year, maybe even last year. It's a really, really good suede.
Yeah.
So if we're going to get that kind of suede on this Dunk Low curry, I do like the colorway a lot, even though it's more of a fall colorway.
Yeah.
That's definitely a sneaker I'm kind of hyped on. I also see the Sunset Low Dunks and also this Sail and Team Red colorway of a Dunk High.
Okay.
Both of these look like they're going to be general releases, releasing on not the sneakers app, but the regular Nike app, as well as big retailers such as Foot Locker, even ASOS, and even like Snipes here in Germany and Europe. Like these really big retailers are getting this. So it's a general release Dunk. I'm also seeing the Clot Jordan 14s.
I had those on my list as well. I think they're, I'm not a huge fan of the 14 as a silhouette.
Me neither.
But the colorway is really, really cool. I think this is like an example of like a collaboration kind of making a sneaker interesting to people who might not like that sneaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you said that really, really well, because I felt the same way about the previous Clot collab, which was on the 13s.
Yeah.
That's one of the, I never liked the 13s.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that silhouette at all. But they kind of like, they made it look kind of like the pyramids. Like, I look at the sneaker and I think of like pyramids of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I thought it was just really, really cool.
Yeah, or like the, like ancient, right? It's like ancient. Because I think the colorway is like the terracotta warrior kind of.
Yeah, I know.
In that, and the 14 for me is like, it's a very aggressive, very fast performance shoe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think why the Jordan 1, 3, and 4 play so well is because they're less, I mean, they are performance shoes,
but they're
right?
More leisure.
But right, the shape is more basic, whilst the later Jordan models are very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the 14, for me, like, if I'm not playing basketball, I probably couldn't wear them, but the colorway is so nice.
The colorway is
so this is probably one I won't buy, but it's like one I can appreciate and respect from a distance, you know?
Same. Not something I'll add to the collection, but I like the shoe.
Yeah.
For sure. Besides that, do you have any others?
Yeah, so you mentioned Beyonce and Ivy Park.
Right.
She's got like an Ultra Boost, I think, coming out, like the white one. I don't know if I'm like excited about it, but I'm excited to see like where Beyonce takes it. I feel like she needs to be given a little more creative control, or it just needs to be a little bit more exciting for me going forward in terms of like the silhouette. I like the colors she uses, like the maroon she used, the forest green, stuff like that. But I mean, I had the neutral grays, I had the terracotta 14s. And then the actually another Jordan. I know we're very Nike heavy today, but the Silver Toe Jordan 1s.
Oh, right, right. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you, like, what you think about those, because they're very silver, I would say.
Is it okay in 2021 to say that they're very feminine?
Yeah, no, I mean, they're a women's shoe, right?
Yeah,
technically,
no, yeah,
right?
They're to me, they're very feminine. Like, yeah. They have like a very shimmery, mm-hmm. metallic toe. So
right.
Not something I would want to wear personally. Mm-hmm. I like the shoe. They remind me of that. Was it Aleli May who did like a collab on the Shadows?
She did Shadows in like 2017. Yeah, they're basically the same, but
that
like...
That one also was like a shiny shadow, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it kind of reminds me of like, this is like the GR version of
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting a lot of hype online. I'm seeing like, I think like, especially in the girl sizes, like,
yeah.
like those are going to fly.
I feel like this is another example of kind of like, it's, you know, obviously it's shimmery. It's made for women in mind, but it's a cool, I like it. It's a cool shoe. And I think like, I'll be happy if they drop it in my size, because I'll probably try and get it. Maybe not like super intensely, but yeah. maybe on sneakers, maybe one or two raffles.
Yeah,
and if
lucky.
I get lucky, then, you know, I'm lucky that I have not small feet, average. I have like, I'm sample size. So I'm a US 9, which is pretty nice.
Oh no. So you're lucky. You can actually cop all these women's releases, man. Like I can't. So, cause like I'm right at the edge. So I'm a US 11.
Yeah.
And most of the women's releases go up to 10.5 in mm-hmm. men's. So I'm right at that edge where I can't cop.
They should like, honestly, they should just make, cause that's what my point was really like, why make like men's shoes and women's shoes, you know, like just make cool designs that everyone likes and make it inclusive sizing, make it from 4 to 16 or whatever Nike and other brands have as a size range, and then let people decide if they want to buy them or not, you know?
Yeah, I always try to wonder what is the reasoning for that? It would make logical sense to just do like inclusive sizing.
Maybe supply chain issues, or just it's just not profitable to make that
yeah,
many.
But then
make like less size 16s, make less size 4s and 5s, but then have like more in like a wider range of sizes.
No, but that's kind of what they do, right? Like these women's releases, like mm-hmm. What are they called? Metallic toes?
Silver toes.
Silver toes, yeah. Right? Like Nike anticipates that a shoe like that would be more popular with women.
Yeah.
So there's way more units available of the women's sizes and
yeah.
very few of the men's. So like I'm thinking that's the reasoning behind it. Like they put out certain shoes that they think will appeal more to a certain demographic.
Yeah.
So they can produce more units of that and fewer of the others, rather than just produce like uniform units
right.
for every size, which
yeah.
which might lead to eventually devaluing the brand, because the bigger sizes maybe won't sell as much
mm-hmm.
and then the resale overall, like brands really care about resale.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
like if they had produced like the same amount of sizes in every single size for men's and women's for this silver shadow pair, whatever, I keep forgetting the name, but
silver toes.
Yeah. Then it's very likely that the bigger sizes, they're not going to resale for as much.
Yeah.
And then when someone were to go on StockX and they click the shoe, they'll see like, okay, it started, price is starting at like 180 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll think like, oh, the shoe was a brick or something.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the whole point of it. Like they kind of want to, keep that hype up. So in these like sizes that are not so popular, they'll produce really few
yeah,
units.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's kind of the reasoning behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah, there's a fine line between making it like available to all or all that want some, and keeping that kind of hype alive. And in the end, it's all a branding play. Whether it's right that people go on StockX and say, oh, this sneaker's selling for a lot, it must be a good sneaker, is obviously another topic, which we can maybe discuss in another episode.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like that
will.
Needs its own episode.
Yeah, it needs it. We're going way off topic.
Yeah,
on
no. So I think we need to bring it back right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of dunks. There's some decent Jordans coming out in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when we sit down in two
weeks.
Oh,
the Taupe Haze as well. That one is supposed.
Is that in Feb 27th, right?
Feb 28th or something. It's supposed
yeah.
to release. So
yeah, I'm supposed to be flying that day.
Okay.
And so I'm really annoyed because I really want that. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, right?
Hey, if I win any raffles in your size nine,
yeah.
I'll right. send you a pair.
Nice. I mean, I'll try and sign up for raffles before and then just have it shipped
yeah,
while
yeah.
I'm gone. But it would be, you know, like back in the in-store days, like in-store raffle days, it was always annoying when you were like not in the city and you're like,
oh. Yeah, I know. Shit.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that wraps it up for today, right?
Yeah, definitely. We were expecting, I don't know how long has this been? I can't even see the timer on this, but
I think we've been talking for like a good 40 minutes.
Have we? Okay, no, that's good. That's good. We were aiming for like half an hour.
Yeah.
So, but I thought this was a pretty good first pod. What do you think?
Definitely. I think I hope that you guys think it's just as good as we think it is. But if not, we'll still be pumping out the content.
Whether you like it or not.
And eventually you'll like it, I hope. So see you guys in 2 weeks with another topic.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. We have an Instagram account, correct?
Yes. The Instagram account is the.kickbackpod, I think. Fuck, we need to cut that.
Oh no. Okay, yeah. We will put the correct link to the Instagram in the show notes, so you'll be able to see it on the Podigy page
for sure.
But yeah, I think I also forgot what it was, but we do have an Instagram page, so make sure you follow it, click the show notes. And yeah, thank you guys so much for your time. Thank you for listening to us, and yeah, we will see you in 2 weeks.
Peace out.
Take it easy.